Well, you guys, turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we're going to look at chapter 10 first, and then we'll go from there. Intense. I don't know if you guys know about this, the account, the historical fact of King Saul, but that's what we're going to be looking at. And we're going to be looking at maybe just a little bit about what they even showed today and see kind of what's going on. I think you're starting to see that this King Saul, even like what we talked about last night, and maybe some of us can relate to him, because this King Saul, you know, does he know who Theos is? Yeah. You know, he even wants to do things for him, but he doesn't get it. That even at the end there, it says, you know, Theos doesn't want your fire, Theos wants your obedience. He wants your heart. He wants you. And that's the difference, you know. That's what we're going to keep on seeing with King Saul. And I think there's something about Saul that we need to talk about tonight that I think we can struggle with too. And that is Saul's attitude toward sin, toward disobedience. Like his attitude toward it. We're going to see that here, and I'll show you a couple passages that he just keeps getting worse and worse. And it says in chapter 10, verse 1 Samuel, chapter 10, and we'll just start with verse 8. This is when God told Saul through Samuel what to do on this battle. It says in verse 8, this is Samuel talking to Saul. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. So it wasn't like lighting a fire, but it was offering these offerings up and these sacrifices. And it says, but you must wait 7 days. It was actually 7 days. You must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. So go to this place with your men, wait 7 days, I'll come, do the sacrifices that need to be done, and then we'll tell you what to do. So if you turn now to chapter 13. This is later on when King Saul finally gets to Gilgal, where he's supposed to wait. And it says, at the end of verse 7, it says, Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. And actually, if you read a little bit before that, you see that some people were so afraid, they were actually like defecting. They were going to another country because they were scared of what the Philistines might be able to do. And it says that Saul's remaining there. All the people around him are like quaking with fear. And it says in verse 8, he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. So it's the seventh day. He's looking around, basically like what it shows in the video. And his men are starting to freak out. They're starting to scatter. And so in verse 9 it says, so he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. And then you read verse 10 and it's so sad. Just as he finished making the offering, he just finishes it. Samuel arrived. Like if he just would have waited 5 more minutes. You know what I mean? Like, man, why didn't you wait till the end of the seventh day? You know, like, why did you freak out like this? Why did you do this? And it says, Samuel arrived. And look what it says. And Saul went out to what? To greet him. Saul doesn't even think that he did anything wrong. Do you see what I mean by his attitude toward disobedience? It's like Saul does what I do. I look at something, what God says, and I go, okay, that sounds good in general, and I will try to do that as best as I can. But if the situation comes up where I need to improvise, where I need to maybe just make just a minor change, then I you know, it's probably okay that I do that. I don't know if you do that. I don't know if you look at God's word and you go, okay, here's what God says about obedience, when you know, what sin is, what sin isn't, and I get that, but you know what? We live in different times now. Our culture is different. You know, people look at things different. And we can basically follow basically what it's saying, but just in a kind of different way. Do you understand what I'm saying at all? I think we do. And that's King Saul. He goes out to greet Samuel. He goes out like, it wasn't like in the video where he sees Samuel and he goes, oh no, I know I screwed up. He didn't even think he screwed up. He just goes out and greets, hey Sammy, how you doing? I'm glad you arrived. And it's like, hey, I did this thing. And it says, and verse 11, it says, what have you done? Asked Samuel. And Saul just tells him. He doesn't say, oh man, what have I done? I guess I've sinned. He doesn't even say that. He says, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. In other words, it's not my fault at all. I had to change this because of what everybody else was doing around me. It's my men's fault, it's your fault, and it's the Philistines' fault. That we just had to just improvise. And it says in verse 12, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So he's going, do you see his heart? He goes, man, I still wanted to get on God's good side. I still wanted to do what he wanted. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. And you see in verse 13, just the beginning, it says, you acted foolishly, Samuel said. And basically what happened in the video, you know what? You might win this battle, but you've lost the kingdom. And then he actually gets another chance. If you want to turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15, actually, King Saul is told, hey, why don't you go out, and this one was, I want you to destroy this entire people, that what they call Amaleki, I think, in the video, but Amalekites. And he goes, I want you to go out there, and I want you to defeat them, and I want you to kill every single thing, every single person. I want you to kill all the livestock. I want you to burn everything. I want you to get rid, I don't want you to save anything. And Saul goes out, and again, he improvises. He goes, well, I'll kill everybody, but I won't kill the king. I mean, we can always take advantage of having the king alive, because then I can like parade him around and show everybody else how powerful we are and how powerful, you know, Israel is, so other people won't mess with us. And maybe we shouldn't actually kill the king, but we'll kill everybody else. You know, I'll basically do what he's saying. And then we'll save some of the livestock. I mean, we don't kill all the livestock. And he actually even turns it around and says, you know what, let's save some livestock so we can make sacrifices to God. Which sounds really great. But it's not what God asked. Do you understand? Like sometimes I think I go, you know what? I'm going to do what I need to do for God. And we decide what terms they are. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what I need to do for God. But we don't listen to what he tells us to do. We make up things to do for him. That he says, I didn't even tell you to do that. And Samuel again comes to him, and he's even worse in this chapter. There's a number of times where Samuel says, you sinned. And Saul says, No, I didn't. And then he says, okay, well, maybe I sin, but it's not a big deal. And that's when Samuel says in verse 22, says Samuel replied when he was saying, like, hey, you got to understand this wasn't a big deal. And Samuel says to him, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? He goes, you know what? You saved all these animals to do sacrifices, but God doesn't care about that. He goes, he cares much more about obeying the voice of the Lord. Does he care about all these sacrifices? No, he cares about you just obeying him. Well, you just trust him enough to do what he says. He says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. And then he says this in verse 23 of chapter 15, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. He's trying to tell Saul, you think you've done just this little thing, and it's not a big deal, but you got to understand the way that God sees it and the way that the truth is that each sin is a lot worse than you think it is. You rebelled against, what he means by rebellion is you just adjusted what God said and you thought you had a better idea than what God did. You just thought you had a better idea than what God did. And that's like the sin of divination. It's just like you're going to demons and asking them what to do. Now, do you think it's the same thing? I go, that's not the same thing. But he says, yes, it is. And he goes, and then he says, in arrogance, you know, if you're prideful a little bit, and that's what Saul was too, you know what? I know better than God. I know what best is to do right now. Arrogance. He goes, that's like idolatry. It's like you're bowing down to some other god and worshiping another god just because you have a little pride. And man, I don't know if I look at it that way. I don't know if you do either. But see, I think I keep going to Samuel and I go, the problem with Samuel is that he didn't really see how devastating sin really is. He didn't think sin was a big deal, and I really think that's our problem. And so tonight, guys, I just want to just remind us, if you're taking notes, you want to write some stuff down, man, I just want to remind us, how bad really is sin? And I've learned these four things about sin. The first one is probably not going to blow any of you away. It's probably not going to be a big surprise. But if you want to write it down, it's this. Number one, everyone has sinned. Is that surprising to any of us? Probably not. Especially when you go, well, what's the definition of sin? There's a lot of ways you can define it. If you define sin in this way, thinking, doing, or saying, so doing something, saying something, or thinking something that's different than how God wants me to say, do, or think. Notice I didn't say the opposite, because Saul didn't do the opposite of what God told him. He just did something a little bit different, right? He just adjusted a little bit. That's all. It's still sin. Sin is saying, doing, thinking anything different than what God wants me to say, do, or think. With that definition, how many of us have in this room have sinned at least one time? Yeah, everybody. I've never seen somebody go, I don't know, I'm sure, I don't know about that. You know that? No, everybody's sinned. I think that's actually the problem. We look around and we raise our hand and we go, I know I'm not the only one that's going to raise my hand. Every single one of us is going to raise our hands. See, we're not all that different. It can't be that bad because everybody has done it. I think that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that we do believe everyone has sinned. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if it was just you, you would go, man, there must be something wrong with me. But if it's not just you, and then you look around and other people say, well, yeah, I've sinned, but he's done this. And she's kind of done this. And I see people like on TV, I don't know, like I see people, media or whatever, that's done way worse than me. And I, you know, so we're all kind of in the same boat. I'm not quite as bad. Maybe I'm a little worse than other people, but I'm not as bad as other people. And we're all kind of, you know, we're just human. That's it. That's the problem, I think. Because we all just stop at that one. Well, everybody sinned. And we just move on. But that's not the only thing. There's three other things that I learned about sin. The second one, some of us in this room might debate with. I know I did. And it's this. Write this down. Number two. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Did you hear that? Every single person who sins is a slave of sin. If you're going, how in the world are you getting that? If you want to, you can turn to, John chapter 8? If that's going to be too hard or whatever, you just write this down, John chapter 8, verses 31 and on. But if you want to turn there, you can do it too. I'm going to let you do that in just for a couple minutes. Go ahead and try to turn there if you can. But if not, just write it down. John chapter 8. This blew me away. John chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 31. And when I heard the truth, or when I heard the sentence, hey, everyone who sinned is a slave of sin, I actually thought that's not true. I'm being honest with you. I thought that's not true. Addicts, like there's certain people that are addicted to certain things, like drug addicts, I don't know, you know, like alcoholics, something like that. They are slaves to sin. So certain things I think that people do make them a slave of that sin. But you know what? I just have an anger problem every once in a while. You know what I mean? I am prideful at times. I mean, I'm not a slave to that. That's just something that I choose to do, and sometimes I choose not to do. Look at what Jesus says in chapter 8 of John, verse 31. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Look, you're saying you believe me, but you know, is your actions going to show that you really, really are wanting to follow me? He goes, if that's the truth, if you really are saying I'm going to follow you, he says in verse 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he's talking to this group of people. And as soon as they heard, the truth will set you free, they went, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you talking about? Because look what this says. It says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? In other words, they were going, whoa, what do you mean set free? And they were understanding. Jesus was saying to be set free from slavery. And these guys were going, but we're not slaves. I think we can all relate to that. We live in America, right? Hey, we might say, hey, we wouldn't say like we're descendants of Abraham. We might say, hey, I'm an American. You know, the land of the free. I'm not a slave to anybody, man. We had people fight for my freedom. You know what? So we're free here. I think we would be saying that. And Jesus would say to us exactly what he said to them. His next line, it says this in verse 34. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Just stop right there. Whenever Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," at first, when I was a kid, I used to think, like, what, was he lying all the other times? I mean, what's it? You know, like, why is he saying, "Hey, this time I'm telling you the truth"? Oh, okay. You know, like that. I go, what does he mean? Why does he have to say, wasn't he telling the truth all the time? Like, why does he say sometimes, "I'm telling you the truth"? It's just like when we tell somebody something, and it's not because we're lying all the other times, but when we tell somebody something, we're going, "Hey, seriously, believe it or not, I'm telling you the truth." It's not because we lied all the other times, but we're about to tell them something that doesn't sound like it's the truth. Right? That's what Jesus does. He goes, "I know that what I'm about to say is going to sound crazy. I know that what I'm about to tell you, a lot of you are going to say, oh, come on, there's no way that's true. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And here it is. I tell you the truth. Everyone, not most people, not some people, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Everyone. And if we all just raised our hands and said that we've all sinned, now what do we have to raise our hands and say? That we're all slaves of sin. Some of us, we don't want to do that. You're like me. You're going, you're doing exactly like me. But I don't think that's true. I just don't think that's true. And I kept saying to Jesus, Jesus, I don't think that's true. And it's like Jesus was saying this. Okay, PJ, he's so patient with me. He goes, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. Who do you think that might be? You know, the God who knows everything in the universe or me. The God who sees everything that I can't even see and understand or me. And even then I thought, like, some of you guys chuckled and went, okay, you know, God's right. But I don't know if you're doing the same thing with me, but can you just help me understand it? Because I don't get it. I don't get that. And he brought two things to my mind. One was this, and it was so simple. Maybe you're going to relate to this right here. Have you ever, it's like God said, you know, put it in my mind. Have you ever said, done, or thought something, and right after you said, did, or thought it, you went, man, I didn't mean to do that. Anybody relate to that? All the time, yeah. I mean, it's like God was telling me, and I went, well, yeah, of course I do that. And then it's like this. He goes, PJ, maybe you're not as in control of your life as you think you are. Because if you really didn't mean to say, do, or think that, then why did you say, do, or think that? If you're that much in control. That hit me. And for a moment I thought, what if Jesus is really true, right? What if I'm a slave of sin? Can I actually be a slave of sin and not even know that I'm a slave of sin? How can that really be? And then he brought another thing to my mind, and he brought me back to when I was a kid and I was fishing with my brother. Anybody here ever fish? Maybe fish, yeah. I was fishing with my brother, and I lived in Northern California in the country and stuff, and we went fishing at this creek by our house. My older brother, a year and a half older than me, his name is Sam. We would go down to this creek. We just call it the creek. Didn't have a name or anything. It wasn't flowing all year round, but around the bridge, whether it was flowing or not, there was always like this big pond at the bridge. And we fished for what we called bluegill. Some people, sunfish, perch, you guys know what I'm talking about? These little fish like this, they're like flat, you know, and they're about this long, you know, and we just fish for these fish all the time, and just for fun. And every once in a while, if you're a fisherman, every once in a while, something happens, at least it did for us, where the fish would swallow the hook. It wouldn't just go in the mouth, you know, because you take it out of the mouth, you throw the fish, we just throw the fish back or whatever. But it would swallow the hook, and me and my brother, we're just kids and stuff. I don't know if there's something you're supposed to do or not, but for us, we were like, what do we do with this? Because we tried to actually take it out, and they're like, oh, maybe we can get this hook out, and we would try our best, you guys. We'd kick it out, and there would always be like guts on it or something, a stomach, and we're like, I don't think this is really good for this fish. We just took out its intestines, you know, and I'll throw it back. It's not really doing that well. You know, it's like, what are we going to do? Like, whenever a fish swallowed the hook, we thought, you know, we could have cut it off. We were really poor, though. So it was like cutting off. We put another hook on for us. That actually was a big thing for us. So some of that, but I, and then I thought, if you do cut it off, you know, at the mouth, you know, it still has this line with a hook in its gut. And I'm going, that can't be good over the long run for this fish. You know, it's like it's done, you know, that's it. So because of that, for a while, we just didn't know what to do. Maybe we did cut it off. Maybe we just pulled it out and said, oh, man, too bad we couldn't do it again. And my brother, Sam, he came up with this thing to do. He came up with this game. And he called it flying fish. And already some of you are going, so half of you are going, what? And the other half are going, yeah? And so, like, what's that? And so, because if the fish swallows the hook, man, it's not coming out. It takes a lot to get that hook out. So what he would do on the bridge, he would actually get the fish, put it down on the road, and give it some line, then lock up the pole, and he would go, and then he would like speak for the fish. He would like, hey, look, I'm a flying fish. Hey, look, I can fly. Woo, look at me. Oh, no, I'm out of control. Bam. Yeah, exactly. And then he would go, oh, I'm taking off again. Bam. And at first I was like, man, I really feel bad for this fish. But then I was like, yeah, get it out of your system because so you won't beat me up, you know, like do that. And he would just keep doing this. He would just keep going, bam, bam. And seriously, man, he's did it so much, like fins would start flying, the scales would come off, you know, and everything else. This fish would just be like, there's nothing, that's battered up until honestly, it was just the hook with the guts. That's it. He would pick up the hook, he would wipe it off, put the bait on, throw it in, and hope that another fish would swallow the hook because he loved that game. I know, you're like, wow. That's my brother Sam. Anyway, I was looking at that. Now, again, some of you are like, oh, man, there's somebody in here going, I can't really show it, but I think that's really cool, man. I'm going to do that. So, but I was like, man, I was probably more of an animal, you know, friend to animals. Like, I was like, man, I was curious about animals and everything else. So when I had a fish swallow the hook. Now, again, I feel bad, you guys. I was like, man, swallow the hook. It's going to die. I don't know. There's nothing else I can do. But maybe we can at least, you know, not be as cruel as my brother. And so I would take that fish and I would take it to the bank. And I would actually put a bobber on the line because I was really curious. And I would go, okay, let's just let the fish go. But I would have the bobber, you know. So I would just let the line out and I would see where the fish would swim. And I could tell where it swam because the bobber would just go over. And so sometimes it would swim across the pond, maybe to this set of bushes or something across the pond. And I would go, I wonder if that's like its home. Then I'd reel it back in, you know, and I would take it out, you know, the gills, you know, going up. And I'd take it out, look at it, you know, put it back in the water. And go, I wonder if it would swim in the same place or if it would swim in a different place. And sometimes it would go in the same place, maybe another place or whatever. And so I would just keep doing this. And then I would reel it back in. Hey, let me check it out again, you know, and see how it's doing. And put it down and let it swim out again. And I would do this over and over again. Till finally, I would put it back down in the water at some point, and it stopped swimming out. It just stopped. And because I kept taking it out of the water, like, I don't think that's good for the fish either, you know. You know, I put it back in. It started, like, turning a little sideways. You know, and so I would take it out, like, shake it. Come on! You know, put it back in, you know. Come on, go swimming. And it's like, no, I'm done, you know. Like, and then I would, and it's so finally, it'd be like, okay, it's done. And then I would take it out. I would rip out the hook. And it would die. And for all that time, I thought I was less cruel than my brother. I thought my brother was way more cruel than me, and I found out, God brought to my mind, you're actually more cruel than your brother. I thought to myself, if I was a fish, this sounds really weird, I would rather be on my brother's line. At least then, I mean, at the moment, okay, I'm caught. This is we're caught, right? We're put down. We're like, oh, man, this is it. And then suddenly you're flying. You're like, wow, I'm flying. I don't think I know how to fly. I'm pretty sure I am not in control right now. I am not. And then suddenly you hit pavement the first time, and you're dead. I mean, it's done. You know you're not in control. You know something else is controlling your life, and it doesn't look good, and it looks scary, and then suddenly it's done. For me, look what I was doing. I was capturing this fish and it was going, I'm out of control. I got the hook in my mouth. I got, you know, it's in my gut, whatever. I'm getting pulled. And then suddenly, I gave it hope. I did. Like, do you understand? Like, I wasn't thinking that, but I was given. Then I let the line out. What did it now think? I got away. I don't know how it happened, but I got away. This is great. I'm going to go back home. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Oh, wait, hold it. And then get pulled back in. And then let it out again. Wait a second. What happened again? What was that? I guess I'm free. I'm free. And I get rolled back in again. Over and over again. And God revealed to me, you guys, an incredible truth. He said, PJ, that's sin. That's how you can actually be controlled by sin and not know that you're being controlled by sin until it's too late. There are people that are addicts, you guys. There's people that are drug addicts. There's people that are alcoholics. And they are on my brother's line. Because my brother, he was doing what sin does too. And for certain people, sin takes them. And right from the beginning, they know I am not in control. I am a slave to this, and I can't do anything about it. And they know it's leading to death. They know it. And we feel sorry for those addicts. Those addicts should be sorry for us. They should be feeling sorry for us. Because we're just as much on the line, and we don't even know it. What's worse? We won't even admit it. Even right now, as I just told you that, and you're thinking what I thought, could that actually be true? And you're thinking through your life. And you're thinking of all the times you did do something. And then you say, I didn't mean to do that. And then you find yourself the next week doing the same thing that you don't mean to do. And then you don't do it. And you feel like, hey, I've got this thing under control. And then something else pops up. And you find yourself falling right back into it. And all sin is doing is it's trying to make sure that you are completely deceived, just like me, and is just giving you line. Here, have some line. Feel good for a while. Feel like you're in control. But anytime sin wants you or me, it just reels us in. And we hate it. Don't we? We're on that line, you guys. And that's what sin's doing to us. When it finally hit me that Jesus' words really are true, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. You just might be on my brother's line, or you might be on my line, but every single one of us is on the line. Every one of us. We've swallowed the hook. That's the second truth about sin. The third thing is even worse, because some of us might actually say, well, you know what? I'm a slave of sin. That's okay. Sin has given me what I want. I think that's what King Saul would have said. Okay, even if it is sin, and even if sin ends up controlling me, you're going to see how Saul, as you go through his life, you're going to see his life being controlled more and more and reeled in more and more with sin and bringing him more and more death. But here's the third thing that's related to that, is that sin has one goal for you and for me, and that's to give us death. Sin's agenda is to kill us. Write it down however you want, but number three is sin as a master will kill you. It separates us. Sin separates us from the only one who can give us life, the only one who created us to have life, God. This holy God, sin separates us. Because I sin, I now deserve death because of my sin. And not only that, because I'm a slave of sin, sin as a master says, I want to give you one thing. Now, I'm going to promise you a lot of other things, but I'm going to end up giving you one thing, and that is death. That's it. And sin is so good at what it does, it actually makes us think that we're getting life when it ends up giving us death. And for a lot of us, when it's too late. That's how nasty sin is. When I found out those three truths, I thought to myself, okay, that's it. Now I'm not going to be fooled anymore. I know what sin is doing now. I know what sin wants to do. And you know what? I am not going to fall for it anymore. And if that was true, And like sin was an actual person. Let's just say sin was an actual, it does say that it's a master. So let's just imagine like it's a kind of personified master. If it was, it would just laugh at me and say, PJ, oh really? You're gonna say no to me now? Okay, you know what? Let me give you some lines so you feel good about it. You swallowed the hook. You can't do anything. That's the fourth truth, you guys. The fourth thing is the worst news of all. Number one, we've all sinned. Number two, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Number three, sin has a goal to kill us. Number four, write this down, there is nothing I can do about it. Nothing. There's nothing you can do about it. There's a bad combination, you guys, and this is a really bad combination. Sin is way too powerful, and I am way too weak. Sin is way too powerful, and I am way too weak. That is a bad combo. In fact, I am convinced, you guys, that sin is the second most powerful thing in the universe. You thought about that? Sin is the second most powerful thing in the universe. I think some of us, if I said, hey, what's the most powerful thing in the universe, we would say God. Some of us, I think, if I was asked at a certain time in my life, hey, what's the second most powerful thing in the universe, I would say Satan. Anybody thinking that? Oh, say, you know, you got God, then you got Satan. You know, like, God's more powerful than Satan, but Satan is like this powerful thing. Guys, I don't think that's true at all. I think it's God and then sin. Not one person in this room, not one person in this room will go to hell because of Satan. Not one person in this world, not one person in the history of mankind has gone to hell because of Satan. Anyone and everyone who goes to hell because of what, you guys? Because of sin. You guys, don't get me wrong. Satan is a problem. Satan's a big problem. But Satan is not the problem. He's not the problem. We have one huge problem. Every one of us. It's sin. Even Satan will burn for eternity in torment in hell because of what? Sin. Sin's the problem. And we can't do anything about it. It's too powerful. Nobody in this room is more powerful than sin. This is something that King Saul never grasped. And it was his downfall. Because honestly, you guys, if we don't see the problem that we have with sin, none of us will even want to have the solution that we need to have. Because why do we need a solution if we don't think we have a problem? Right? People are not following Jesus. Guys, there's so many reasons people, oh, I'm not going to follow Jesus. It's because they just don't think they need him. Because I'm okay without him. I'm okay with the way my life is going. And man, sin has given you a line and has given you some slack to make you feel like that even more. But it's not true. Even right now, I know that for some of you in this room, you're going, oh my gosh, I don't know how I know this, but I know what he's saying is true. I know it. I got a problem with sin, way bigger than I thought when I came in this room tonight. And then there's another voice in your head right now saying, no, you're fine. Don't listen to him. You're okay. And that's sin. And you know it's not true. Sin is the second most powerful thing in the universe. There is one thing there is one who is more powerful than sin. But it's nobody in this room. Tomorrow, we're going to find out what this one did that we could never do to set us free from sin. But you guys, we're not going to talk about that tonight. I think it's important that we sit in this idea of being the bad news. I want you to sit in it. Think about your life and think about how it's been going and think about the concept of sin and how you've been looking at sin in your life. Like King Saul or like something else? Because it's a huge problem, you guys, and you can't do anything about it. But until you really believe that yourself, you're not going to be ready to hear the good news because you don't think you need it. But we all do. Think about that tonight, and we'll see what God did tomorrow night. Okay? Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this sobering truth. It's been sobering tonight, God. This isn't like, oh, wow, what a celebratory time we had in the Word. But God, it's been a good time because it's been the truth. God, I'm so thankful that you do not just tell us what we want to hear. You tell us what we need to hear. Jesus, you told those people who thought that they were free what they needed to hear. They didn't like it, but they needed to hear that everyone that sins is a slave of sin, and there's nothing we can do about it. God, I'm just going to say tonight, though, along with so many here who do understand what you've done, we are so, so thankful that sin is not the most powerful thing in the universe, but is the second most powerful. And God, just show us between now, the rest of this week, for anybody here who now sees sin the way that we need to see it, would you just show us the truth of what you have done to deal with that problem? In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.